We have big skyscrapers. We have so much advancement, but we can't stop the fire trucks. And we can't stop the police sirens. And we can't stop the suffering that goes on every day in this world. And we think that we will come up with a solution for every single problem that we encounter, because we don't have the understanding that in this material world, we will never conquer the material energy. If anything we can learn from the time that we're in now is we are not the all-powerful beings that our technology is bewildering us into thinking that we are. We are not. We can easily be brought to our knees by a microbe. We can easily be brought to our knees by all of the so-called advancement that people with inventive minds have done, who are atheistic, who lack morality, humility, and a heart connected to God. And these are called in the Vedic literatures, these inventions, Ugra Karma, horrible works meant to destroy mankind. So we're very clever. We can make people die quicker, but we say we can create life. And so our idea of life is to meld a human being with a machine in so many horrific ways. We're experimenting on the poor animals, creating untold suffering. We don't think that suffering's going to come back at us. It will. We're slaughtering billions of innocent living entities every year. And now we're being slaughtered. We're being slaughtered everywhere by disease, by car accidents, in so many ways. So we need to stop and think. Our society right now is not based on God consciousness. That is the root of the difficulty. The root of the difficulty is not that we don't have enough technology or enough skyscrapers. That's not the root of the difficulty. We've packed human beings into these congested environments in these cities, which are artificial. We are shipping from one end of the country to another all sorts of products and vegetables and fruits. It's unnecessary. There is a better way to live. And if anything that is going on now can communicate to our hearts and minds something of importance, it would be this. We need to rethink the direction we're going in. We need to stop depending on people who profess themselves to be authorities who are not. I lived in the 50s, and I can remember commercials that said, 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Salem cigarettes, or whatever the brand was. Doctors were recommending that people smoke. I saw a commercial where a woman was putting on face cream that was made radioactive so they could tell how deep it went into her pores. Heaven knows how long she lasted. We were spraying DDT on children who were in swimming pools. What is the need for all these chemicals? We have created an artificial standard of life. Thousands of chemicals go on the market every year. Why are we buying them? Why are we using them? God has given us everything that we need for happiness and some level of peacefulness in our existence. Did you know when you pick fruits and vegetables and you eat them, that in that period of time, within half hour or an hour, there are specific kinds of nutrients that give the body protection from so many modern day diseases? It's because our lifestyle is artificial that we're suffering. It's not that we're not intelligent, but when intelligence is not based on God, which means there's going to be some humility in the heart, then that intelligence becomes twisted, distorted, demonic. And that is what we have now. To think that planting a chip in a human being just so they have the satisfaction of passing their hand over a door and it opens, what level of egotism is that? And no matter how clever our inventions are, at the end of the day, the death rate is still 100%. It doesn't matter if you're a billionaire, a trillionaire, a quadrillionaire, you will leave this body and everything, all the power and all the money and all the influence that you sought to amalgamate in your short time in your body on this planet, you will leave. So what is the point of this human form of life? These are the questions that we are meant to ask. And we're meant to have an educational system that builds character, not that destroys character. Not that we encourage our children in moral values, and then when they go to school, everything is completely cut away, torn apart, dismantled. That's not why we're sending our children to school. And that's what's going on now. Atheism is at the core, and it has been at the core, and we haven't picked it up. Mothers and fathers sending their children to school thinking, yes, my children need a good education so they can, what, become cogs in a system that's run by people at the top who are milking the intelligence and the vitality of everybody underneath, creating so much suffering, people living in cubicles connected to machines all day. Is that quality of life? It is not. We are not meant to live in these giant cities. What are they offering us? The fact that we can go and buy 50 kinds of donuts and 100 different sorts of dresses and skirts and sunglasses. Is that satisfaction? Whatever that satisfaction is, does it feed our hearts? Does it feed our souls? Are people happier? No. We have seen people are not happier. And we've seen that when we export this lifestyle, this consciousness to other countries where people were peaceful and happy living more simply, they become just like us. They have obsession about their bodies and about weight and about the next gadget, and they don't have enough money and they can't buy a Coca-Cola and they want an iPhone. Very interesting. So the Vedas teach us that human life is meant for self-realization. When Srila Prabhupada came to America, he was quite surprised. At that time, there were so many hippies living in the streets who came from wealthy families, at least middle-class families. There was no need, but there was such a frustration with life as was being handed to them, with an emptiness inside of what is this all about? What is this all for? What is the purpose for which I am meant to be here, to live, to understand? Who is God? Why am I here? What is death? Very important questions. So now, we have a lifestyle that keeps people so busy. They don't have time to ask the important questions of life. They don't even know where to go to get the answers. So that is why Srila Prabhupada came to America. He was instructed, he was asked, actually, when he was in his 20s, by his teacher, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, please go to the Western-speaking countries. Your English is very fine. Please go. They are suffering for want of this knowledge. Please give it to them. He was 69 years old before the opportunity came. He was almost penniless. He published the first set, volume 1, 2, and 3 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And with a small suitcase and an umbrella, he boarded the cargo ship Jaladuta and came to America in the middle 60s to give this knowledge. And he underwent such difficulties. We can't imagine. Most of us, as we approach these older years, we would never do such a thing. We would never go to a country we'd never been to, didn't even know anything about, didn't know how we would survive. Having a pass to visit one family that was willing to sponsor them because the father was in India and he asked the son, you know, please sponsor this saintly person. He's coming please sponsor him at your home. Otherwise, he couldn't get a pass even to come to America. So many hardships were there. All he wanted to do was to give these books, which are meant to be the law books for the next 10,000 years, that were not available in English, in the clarity and purity which they were handed down. So these books are thousands of years old. They give the template for how we can be happy in this world. The template comes from God. Just like when you have a tape recorder, you have instructions. Do you think the Supreme Lord, who created all of us and everything here, is going to just let us be here without any direction? The direction is there. We don't have to make it up or figure it out. It's all been figured out. Just like there's a system called Ayurveda. Some of you may have heard of it. It's knowledge of life. Ayur's life. Okay? So we're so busy creating machines that cost millions of dollars. You go into a hospital, they take your blood, they take samples of all of your fluids. They still don't know what's the matter with you. They give you chemical, pharmaceutical pills that have so many side effects. I mean, being killed by the side effects of medication is right up there with being killed by heart disease and cancer. So how is that a healing modality? And yet, if you go to an Ayurvedic doctor, they don't ask you to take your clothes off. They don't explore your private parts. They don't take your blood. They take your pulse. They are so trained to feel the subtleties in the pulse of a person. They can tell where the imbalances of the body are. And they will ask the person sitting in front of them, so you're getting headaches? Yes. I see. And you're having some trouble sleeping at night? Yes. And some rashes you're having? Yes, yes, I'm having trouble with my skin, some rashes. I don't know where they're coming from. And on, giving symptoms. Why? Because they've already discovered what the imbalances are in the body. They're checking with the patient. Is this correct? And they give one medicine. And that's it. Or two, whatever's required. And they offer the change of diet. And that's it. And it didn't cost millions of dollars. And it didn't cost an education that put somebody in debt for 10 years. And it didn't cost the insurance system millions and millions of dollars. This is an unnecessary, artificial style of life that we do not need to be living. So in the Vedic culture, there was a village. There weren't fire trucks going on all day and all night, police trucks all day and all night. People terrified, what if I have to go to a doctor? I can't afford it. No. Every village had a practitioner of Ayurveda. And you simply went, you gave a donation, what you could, and then you got the best guidance you could possibly get for what you needed. We live in a society where our ego has been so inflated. This Western world, the ego of the Western world has been so inflated that everything we are experiencing now is the hand of God, the hand of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who loves us. He is deflating our ego balloon. Come back to size, spirit soul. The Vedas say that we are 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair. That is our size. And so just like in the movie The Wizard of Oz, if you've seen it, there's a scene where there's a very fabulous display of power, but there's actually just an old man behind a curtain pushing buttons. That's us. We're tiny, tiny souls. And this technology has made us think we are so powerful. You take one skinny man, you put him on a stage, and you back him with fabulous lights and huge sound system, and all of a sudden this person seems to be 100 times more powerful and influential than they really are if you meet them in person. So we need to bring everything back down. Simplify, simplify, simplify. If we want to live in cities, let's make it sane. Around the cities, there can be farms. Why should the farmers be put out of business by companies like Monsanto who are buying up? Did you know this? Some of you do, some of you don't. Buying up seeds so that all the seeds that are natural, that can reproduce themselves, are bought by a company so they can be in control of nature. You think you can control nature? Really? Does it take what? One hurricane? One powerful snowstorm? One tornado? And everything is finished. One tidal wave? Right? So this is foolishness. We are being forced to our knees. We need to stay on our knees in prayer. Come back to our senses. Come back to our senses. So I ask all of you, please take the time to visit our website, Purely Prabhupada. See the books which are available. We are going to be offering you more opportunities to hear transcendental knowledge translated into the difficulties that we're having today and the offering of solutions from a higher perspective. And I thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen. Hare Krishna.